Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, g'day everyone. News Fighters host Dylan Bain here. Now, I'm on holidays at the moment, out of town performing my amateur one-man production of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang down at Summer Nats in Canberra. So no new episode this week, but this week marks the one-year anniversary of the Joe Biden inauguration. Now, Joe Biden, if you haven't heard of him, he's the American president. He was the guy who took over after that crazy Trump fellow. So I thought this week was a great occasion to replay my recap of the Biden inauguration's Aussie TV coverage that I did on the show exactly a year ago, and also my interview with Chaz Licciardello from the ABC's Planet America and the PEP podcast, also from a year ago, where Chaz talks about Trump's legacy and what we can expect from the Joe Biden presidency. So great little preview of how Chaz thought things might go, and worth listening to in the context of how things are happening. Anyways, here it is, my recap of the Biden inauguration. But now onto our main story, which is our coverage of the Joe Biden inauguration celebration. And what a night of huge superstars the new administration had lined up for us.
Hi, I'm the lead singer from the New Radicals. We pledged if Joe won, we'd get together and play our little song, both in memory and in honor of our new president's patriot son, Beau, and also with the prayer of Joe being able to bring our country together again.
Yes, Joe Biden managed to reunite 90s one-hit wonders, the New Radicals, in what will be the only thing his administration ever does that gets described as radical.
Come on, man.
Also from the inauguration, we got an audio leak from host Tom Hanks when he was testing his microphone. And wow, I'm just not used to hearing White House audio leaks that sound so nice.
All right. Yep, got it. Thank you very much. Hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
How are you?
Oh, look at the spotlights over the Lincoln Memorial. How cool is that?
Quite a change from Trump-era White House audio leaks. I mean, he didn't swear or beg for votes or brag about assaulting women once. Ugh, I'm just not going to get used to this crazy administration that they have now. Meanwhile, back here in Australia, the inauguration coverage kicked off at 3 a.m. local time, leaving our local TV networks to come up with some creative solutions for filling in late-night airtime. So the cash-strapped ABC, instead of paying experts to come in the middle of the night to provide analysis, or even just throwing some cab charges at some drum regulars, they decided to just keep repeating clips from the swearing-in ceremony over and over again.
There is a long way to go yet on this inauguration day, but let's give you a little sense of what we've seen already.
Here are some of the highlights from an historic day in Washington.
Please stick around. We are back on air at 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time at the top of the clock, Sarah and Lisa, for highlights, including more excerpts of Joe Biden's speech.
But first, let's take a look back at today's ceremony with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being sworn in.
Yes, the ABC repeated the ceremony so many times that even the producers of Spicks and Specks were like, hey, guys, enough already. We've seen it. Don't need to play it that many times. And then later in the day, the ABC was so focused on covering nothing but the inauguration that they immediately cut away from a Scott Morrison press conference when he dared to talk about something other than the inauguration.
That is an historic moment, and one that I think, as a father of daughters, you can only celebrate. And I wish her all the best in her very important duties as well. Turning to today, though, here in Australia, gas is key.
Okay, we'll leave that there for the moment.
Oh, come on, Scott. No one wants to hear you talk about Australia. Read the room. Meanwhile, over on Seven Sunrise, they were having a good old-fashioned piñata party, taking turns at bashing America on its special day.
The American economy, as Bruce was saying, it's in much worse shape than here in Australia.
You've travelled in the United States, the airports are terrible, the roads are terrible, the bridges are terrible. Your job is not secure, you don't know how your kids are going to get to school, and you may be evicted from your apartment. People are asking, is America a failed state?
Okay. Health system.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness.
Now I'm getting depressed.
It was really bad.
It's funny because we don't live there. And then over on Nine's Today Show, Karl Stefanovic made sure we focused on the important issues himself.
I mean, this is the wondrous thing about America, which I love, having lived there and worked there. You know, I remember Barack Obama's inauguration, having been there and covered it a couple of times, having been to and thoroughly let Arlington Cemetery wash over me. So on that particular day, I remember that feeling was very different to Barack Obama's. I've got many friends who live in New York, many in LA.
Yes, a truly historic day for Karl Stefanovic's everywhere. Meanwhile, on Foxtel, Rupert Murdoch's Aussie news channel Sky News was definitely having a normal one.
Speaking of unelected monarchs, I couldn't help thinking I was watching a replay of some obscure Eastern European Soviet dictatorship from the 1980s being sworn in as I watched Joe Biden's surreal and farcical inauguration.
Joe Biden is a puppet on a string. He's not a president. He is the marionette, and his masters are Barack Obama and the radical left.
Under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the initials USA look increasingly like they stand for United States of Apartheid.
This is the first presidential transfer that has ever taken place in a military zone. I mean, this was an unpeaceful transfer of power.
Ron Klein, Biden's chief of staff, has said that in his first days, Biden's top priorities will include climate change and racial injustice. Or, to call them by their actual name, socialism.
Oh, geez, calm down, Sky News. It's only day one. What are you going to be acting like 3 years from now, if there's a 3 years from now? Things aren't going to get that bad. I mean, look, here's Sky's Shari Markson trying to outline some of Joe Biden's dangerous and radical socialist policies.
You may have missed that the new Biden administration has outlined a raft of tax increases, the most controversial of which is a plan for a new tax on unrealised capital gains. So that's an annual capital gains tax on assets someone holds on paper, not just at the point of sale, and this could be a house or shares.
Oh, my God, there's no way Dictator Joe can recover from that nailing, Shari Markson. But also, thank you for dedicating so much Australian News Channel airtime to assassinating Joe Biden's tax policies, which do not affect Australians at all. Good job. Oh, hey, but you know who actually got away with saying something positive about Joe Biden on Sky News was former cigar-smoking treasurer Joe Hockey.
Do you believe he's the right man for this moment?
Yes, he is. Joe Biden, with nearly 50 years of experience, is exactly the right person. Not only has he had great trauma in his life, as everyone knows, he is just sort of the wise father-grandfather that America needs at this particular point of time.
Yes, very interesting to see Joe Hockey become a Joe Biden supporter on Sky News there. I mean, normally when he's on Sky News, he's spouting conspiracy theories about Hunter Biden's laptop.
In relation to the Hunter Biden laptop story, the bottom line is Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, needs to come out and say yes or no. It's not just about the emails and the financial activity. There is a whole other story that's being talked about in relation to what was on the laptop. The thing about the email scandal and Hunter Biden is it's a very small part of the media market that's actually talking about it. The anti-Trump media is just very disciplined in constantly talking about the coronavirus?
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. Maybe the media is more fixated on coronavirus because Hunter Biden's laptop hasn't killed 400,000 Americans. It's also interesting to see Joe Hockey support Biden now because the day after the US election, he went on Ben Fordham's radio show with some interesting theories.
In some states, they sent out ballot papers to every household. So, for example, in Washington, D.C., they sent out ballot papers to every household, and some people got two ballot papers. You know, it might have been, you know, Ben Fordham, Ben J. Fordham, Mr. Fordham, whatever the different titles might be.
So there's a chance that electoral fraud has happened.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, hey, and Joe Hockey, are you becoming complicit in eroding faith in American democracy?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and were you also the worst treasurer we've ever had in my living memory?
Oh, for sure.
Well, I hope that now that Joe Biden's been inaugurated and the administration's been sworn in and they're trying to unite the country and also defeat coronavirus, that maybe Sky News will lay off all the electoral fraud conspiracy theories. Right, Rowan Dean?
This seems to be a virtual presidency. You had no real voters on the Biden campaign trail. There were, you know, occasionally a handful of people. They stood around in those circles. Everyone, there was about 100 people at any rally, never any more than that. We've seen he never actually got out and met any crowds. And now, Liz, the great moment, the inauguration, which is when the American president stands in front of the masses of the people who have supported him. There's still nobody. Maybe there wasn't ever, or is that just me being a conspiracy theorist?
I don't know. Hey, what do you think, Joe Hockey?
Oh, for sure.
Well, anyway, I'm sure that was just a one-off, and I'm sure that the next 4 to 8 years are going to be just fine now. There's no way that any right-wing crazies will watch the Murdoch news media and will feel emboldened to keep believing the election was stolen from them by a racist, radical socialist in Joe Biden. Look, everything's going to settle down just fine, guys. It's not like Sky News has 1.1 million subscribers on YouTube now and is catering to a growing audience of Americans or anything. Everything's going to be just fine.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
First of all, welcome to News Fighters. Planet America's, of course, what you're most famous for. Planet America's been off since November.
Yes.
Will there be much to talk about
since then?
Yeah. When's the show coming back? It's coming back soon. I imagine there'll be a lot to talk about.
It is. We have a special. Now, usually when we say we have a special, what that means is we just want to do a best of and we don't do any work. But in this case, it's actually a special on Inauguration Day. Because inauguration is happening at 3 a.m., we think it's not a smart idea to cover that live. So we're doing a show on the night before, and then we're doing a show on the Friday after, and then after that, it's every week on Friday.
Brilliant. When are you going to sleep between the show but the night before and the show on the Friday?
If American politics is anything like it's been for the last few weeks, I won't be able to sleep during that two-day period, because I'll just be in a fetal position rocking back and forth.
And great to hear the podcast will be coming back. Congratulations on 50 episodes. Now it's changed names. Do you want to talk us through? It was called, now this is just an extracurricular thing you do. This is nothing. Yeah. This is in no way connected to the Planet America TV show, correct?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Even though when we started it, we called it the Planet America podcast. I assure you, it has nothing to do with Planet America, because the ABC, who own the Planet America name, have told us that we're not allowed to do a podcast. So, therefore, it's not the Planet America podcast. Now it's PEP, which doesn't stand for Planet Extra Podcast, which we also called it at one point in time, because they own the word planet as well. It's just PEP. It's just, you know, it's about invigoration as much as anything else. That's all. So that's what's called now, PEP, not Planet Extra Podcast.
I had no idea ABC owns the entire word planet.
Well, let's put it this way. They threatened to take me to court based on the ownership of the word planet. Now, I could challenge it in court, but I prefer just to call it PEP. just gladly.
I assumed it would be in the ABC's best interest to have extra marketing for the show, but clearly they don't want that.
You would think that, Dylan, and I know that you have some stories, and I certainly have some stories about the ABC. They don't necessarily work in their own interests all the time. They work in mysterious ways, like the Lord.
And I've listened to it a few times, but I've missed Dr. Dave's introduction. How did you meet Dr. Dave? What's your co-host Dr. Dave's background?
Dr. Dave is a lecturer, I believe he's now an associate professor at the US Study Center, which is at Sydney Uni. Mm-hmm. And the way I came across him was that it's a very small circle, the circle of people who are into American politics. And we basically all meet in the ABC News common room whenever there's an American politics news story, because they just go through one from one after another. There's about six of us. And so I've done a lot of hits on TV with him before on the drum or whatever. And he always struck me as a person who was just as poorly adjusted as I am. And so I was immediately attracted to him intellectually. And sure enough, yeah, that man is obsessed. That man is sick. He is just as sick as I am. And so I thought it'd be a good idea. When John and I used to do extras, video extras for Planet America, when we were allowed to call them Planet America extras, John got a little bit sick of it after all, because he said, now we're doing two shows a week. I don't want to do a third show for free. Do you want to pay me, Chaz? Yeah. I went, no, I don't think I do want to pay you. And so I needed to call in a sub. And I just thought, well, the only person who is screwed up enough to want to do extra content for free and actually knows their stuff is Dr. Dave. And sure enough, he leapt at the opportunity because, like me, he's sick of talking to people who don't want to talk to him about American politics.
And there was something I heard you talking about on PEP. I can't remember exactly, but I think you guys touched on, and we'll get into the American politics stuff now, I guess, which is Trump's legacy. Now, there's something I thought about this week, which was George W. Bush's legacy got more rosy with time. Yeah. Now people remember him for combating malaria and fighting AIDS in developing countries. And even someone like Nixon, people go, oh, he started the EPA. You know, so even these deeply flawed presidents sometimes have a non-controversial kind of universally admired legacy. I cannot think what Trump's will be. Can you think of anything 20 years from now people might be, oh yeah, Trump did something good, kind of universally on both sides?
This is one of my favorite games to try and argue the unarguable. I do think that Trump will be rosened as well, just like the rest of them. I'm not sure he's ever going to reach like the same kind of pet status that George W. Bush has for Democrats under Trump. Yes. But I think that he'll definitely be seen as better than the current guy in 10 years' time. And the reason why is there's a couple of things. In terms of things that he has achieved, well, at the very least, they came up with a vaccine under him for COVID. That's one thing.
Sure.
Depending on what happens with climate change, that one thing which hasn't been talked about enough, including actually by us, to be honest, is there's been a lot of stuff happening with nuclear power under Trump. No one ever talks about. And if it ever actually happens, if it ever actually comes off that we do get a proper alternative energy structure with lots of solar power and lots of wind power and lots of nuclear power, it's probably going to be because of the technologies that were fast-tracked under the Trump administration, which didn't bear fruit for another 5 or 10 years. So that is one area where, in hindsight, people might go, oh, yeah, I'm glad he did that. But the main reason I think people look back on him, well, I didn't say positively, but more positively than they are now.
They do now, yep.
Yeah, is because I think the guys who are coming after him are going to be much nastier and much smarter. And your Josh Hawleys and your Tom Cottons, those kinds of guys, are going to do the populism just like Trump did. But the difference is, and they're going to do the racism, and they're probably going to do the militarism as well. That's one thing which is different, which I think people look back fondly with Trump. He doesn't want to start wars.
True.
He's not going out of his way trying to start wars. And I think Tom Cotton is going to go out of his way to try and start wars. If he's the next president, people will look back on Trump fondly in that regard, I think. And I also think just the fact that Trump talked the talk a lot, but all he really wanted to do was get lots of likes on Twitter. That's all he wanted. Because some of these other guys, they're going to want to achieve some things that I don't think a lot of people are going to be happy with. So, yeah, I suspect that we will look at Trump with rose-colored glasses as well.
But given, I think there's an article in the New York Times today saying the Republican Party may have to do a hard reset after Trump, given that he lost the presidential election, the Senate and the House, surely there'll be a massive war within the Republican Party and people won't want to follow Trump and do his policies again, do the populism thing again, potentially. Or do you think it'll just come roaring back after another election, perhaps?
I think that you should never underestimate people's ability to respond to immediate incentives. One thing that not just the Republicans, all of us have in common is that the last 15 years, we've all lost our focus. We've all lost our ability to look in the long term. We all just think about, we forget what happened 2 years ago or three years ago. Like we're very, very immediate in the now. And I think politicians are no different. And I think that in order for the Republicans to do that reset that people are talking about, a lot of people need to lose their seats and they're not going to want to do that.
Right.
And so it's all very well to say, yes, the Republicans would be much better off if in 5 years they have exorcised the ghost of Trump. But to go from there to 5 years' time, 80% of the Republican Party needs to be primaried. And they're not going to do that. And I think what we're going to see is what we saw with George W. Bush. We're going to see a rebrand. In 2008, people were talking about the Democrats being in power for 20 years. They were talking about Obama had this massive victory, not just a by the skin of his teeth victory like Joe Biden. They had a massive, filibuster-proof majority. He dominated. And yet within 2 years, he'd lost the House and was well on his way to losing the Senate. And the reason for that was, in fact, he didn't lose it in 2 years. He lost it in a year. The Tea Party stuff had happened within 12 months. And it was just a massive rebranding exercise where they just removed George Bush but just kept everything else and just called themselves something else. And I fully expect the same thing to happen again. Trump may be removed from the Republican Party, but Trumpism ain't going to be. These guys are going to, they'll stand by the populism thing, they'll stand by the conspiracy stuff, all the negative traits that people are saying they need to be removed, they'll just give it a new name, they'll polish it up a little bit, and then they'll ride off the fact that Joe Biden will get very little done, and then they'll be back, and then there'll be no need for them to reboot because they'll be in power. So that's a bit cynical, but that's how politics tends to work. I'm not seeing the need for them to reboot anytime soon, I'd say.
One theory I have, maybe you agree, is Biden is probably going to be a one-termer. Is that the rumor?
Yes. Well, that's what everyone's kind of assuming. In fact, Joe Biden himself during the campaign did everything but say, I'm going to be a one-termer. And he couldn't say I'm going to be a one-termer because then people would start to focus more on Kamala Harris than they would on him. So that made sense. He couldn't say it, but he's hinted very strongly that he's going to be a one-termer. So I think that is the case. Also, another thing, which you haven't brought up, but whenever I say something like this, people often say, well, the Republicans need to reboot. And the reason why is because demographically, they have no choice. They are in the minority now. There just aren't enough white people. There especially aren't enough white men. And there aren't enough white uneducated men, which is their base. There just aren't enough. And what I always say to those people is, I think when people talk about demographics like it's destiny, they forget that demographics change. When I say, what I mean by that is the definition of white changes. What I always say is, you look at me, 30 years ago, I was non-white. Now I'm so white, I can barely get on the air at the ABC. But I haven't changed. Just the definition of white changes. And I'm looking at America, is 20% Hispanic. Do you think they're going to be non-white in 30 years or 40 years' time? They're going to be considered white. And so the definitions of demographics are going to change as well.
And so do you think the Republicans will lean into Rubio and Cruz, or do we see Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr. Battling for the next primary? Who do you think will be up in 2024?
I don't know whether they're going to try to remove the stink of Trump and keep Trumpism, like I just said, or if they'll just keep Trump. If they just keep Trump, then Don Trump Jr. is their man, not Ivanka. Forget her. She doesn't appeal to the base at all. Donald Trump Jr., one of the strengths of Donald Trump Sr. was that he was them. He was an actual, even though he's a billionaire and all the rest of it, he's a Fox News junkie who eats fast food. He is the base. Before him, they pretended to be the base, the politicians. He actually is the base. He's as dumb as their base. He watches what they watch. He says what they say. That's what I love him. Now, Donald Trump Jr. is a troll. He is an internet troll. And so the next generation of Republicans are Donald Trump Jr. So if they like Trumpism, Donald Trump Jr. is their man. If they want to get rid of Trump but keep Trumpism, then I don't think either of them stand a chance because they just associate too much with Trump. I think it would be your Josh Hawley types and Tom Cotton, who are basically a new face for the same kind of stuff. I personally think that Josh Hawley is the most likely next nominee, but we will see about that. I've been wrong before. I don't think Rubio or Cruz, to answer your question, I think while the fact they're both Hispanic would help, because I do think Republicans are going to lean into Hispanics in future years, I think both of them are kind of losers. I think Rubio has always seemed too desperate, and he always seems like he's trying to be what you want him to be, which isn't very convincing. And Ted Cruz, his best chance is 2016. He, unfortunately, Donald Trump screwed him up. He was looking okay in 2016, but I think he's done his dash. I think that he has been sucking up for too long, and I think he just seems a bit pathetic. He's become Rubio'd. So if there is going to be a Hispanic, it'll be a new one. I don't think it'll be either.
And then on the Democratic side, Biden's cabinet's slowly been leaking out, and I'm amazed that all his competitors, except for Mayor Pete, who got the prize role of transportation secretary, Yang, Klobuchar, Bernie, Beto O'Rourke, none of them got a spot in the cabinet. Is this a case of him trying to keep your enemies away, like so they don't get any limelight the next 4 years and set up Kamala? Or?
Well, I think part of the problem is that a lot of them are senators, and he needs every senator he can get at the moment because he's got a damn majority. So that's the first problem.
Yeah.
I still think, actually, to this day, I think I said this on the podcast at the end of last year, and Dr. Dave thought I was insane. But to this day, I reckon if they had either gotten a proper majority or they had missed out on the majority, then I reckon he would put Bernie Sanders in his cabinet. But having said that, because he seems to have a very strong relationship with Bernie Sanders, like a personal relationship, but he just can't afford to lose any senators at the moment, especially a lot of these senators are in states with Republican governors, so they would be replaced by Republican replacements. So he can't afford that.
Someone like Beto O'Rourke. Beto, I just saw, is going to teach at University of Texas now. Like, he hasn't got a lot on Beto.
That is true. That is true. It seems to me that Biden, basically, I'm not sure it's that he's trying to exclude the people he ran against. I think it's more the case. You look at the people he's appointed, they're all his old mates from the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. I think Biden just wants people he can trust. And that doesn't mean he thinks the others are untrustworthy. I just think he just wants people that he personally has a relationship with over the last 15 years, 10, 15 years. And that makes sense. He's in for a tough 4 years, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have people who he can believe in. I should say, by the way, Andrew Yang, I don't know if you know this,
yes,
is already going for mayor of New York.
I was about to get to that. Did you see the launch video to launch his campaign? This is how dystopian America is right now. It was directed by Darren Aronofsky, who did Requiem for a Dream. And there's no kissing babies and town fairs. It's like the middle of winter in New York, and everyone's wearing masks, saying, "Please save us." It's very, very dystopian campaign launch video.
It is, but that's Andrew Yang's style. He's always been a little bit ambivalent between being mega pessimistic and hopeful at the same time. And I actually think this is the best thing that can happen to him. I think he'd be much better being the mayor of New York than transportation secretary. Yes. that's genuine leverage for another presidential run, say, in 10 years' time, if he pulls it off. And let's face it, Bill de Blasio is not the most well-loved mayor, so he's probably in a pretty good position.
But is it a poison chalice? I researched, I don't think any New York mayor's ever become president. Is he just setting himself up to be the next Rudy Giuliani here?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I hope for his sanity's sake that he's not the next Rudy Giuliani. let's face it, there is only one president every 4 to 8 years, so the chances aren't great. And if you're not going to be president, being mayor of New York isn't a bad fallback. So I think he's looking okay.
True. Also, just quickly, given you have your finger on the pulse, the rating of the Capitol, did you see this coming at all? Was this a big, big surprise to you?
Look, the fact that there was a massive violent protest outside Congress was not just not a surprise to me, but it was not a surprise to anyone. Like, I was reading my blogs. Like, I when I was on holiday, I kind of took time off. I just watched lots of movies and stuff. Mm. But starting the beginning of January, I was back into my reading of blogs and newspapers like I do. And every second article was about what's going to happen on the 6th of January. Like it didn't take much foresight to see that online, that's all Trump supporters were talking about. There's this upcoming, sometimes some people call it protest, some people call it summit, some people, they have all kinds of names for it, but there was something going to happen outside Congress on the 6th of January. That was definitely going to happen. The fact that they are now saying that, when I say the Capitol Police are now saying they didn't see it coming, that's the see no evil, hear no evil monkeys talking. Because everyone knew something was coming. I did not expect it to work. I did not expect them to get in
the Capitol and steal things.
Yes. I did not expect them to emerge with Nancy Pelosi's nameplate. So that was a surprise. But the fact that they tried something was not at all surprising. It's and the fact that the only people who didn't seem to see it coming was the Capitol Police is maybe the reason it did work. It's very strange. I mean, look, thinking for myself, I'll tell you a bit of shop talk, which you'd know about from the Chaser day, which is that when we went to America to film War on Everything, one of my jobs was to dress up as Osama bin Laden, because that was like my alter ego during the Chaser years,
yes,
and just to cause mischief around Washington, D.C., dressed as Osama bin Laden,
yep,
right? And at one point in time, I was outside the White House, because that's what you do, dressed as Osama bin Laden, trying to act like I was trying to scale the fence, right? And doing that kind of stuff, asking gardeners, oh, when's the best place? Oh, the doors open at any point in time? When should I come? When will the doors be open? When can I come and visit? You know, like that kind of stuff. And it turned out the gardener I spoke to was a Secret Service agent. It turned out, in fact, everyone there was a Secret Service agent. They all it's like a movie where they just all emerge out of holes in the ground and stuff. And it was the best guarded place. That's not a great surprise. But and in the end, they were actually pretty cool. While the first couple of minutes, they were pretty intense. When I pulled out my phone and showed them on YouTube, the case was on TV, all of a sudden I was a god. When you're on TV in America, you're a god.
Amazing.
So that was fine. But my point was that there must have been 30 people who came out of the woodwork to arrest me, just the dude in fancy dress. So I can only imagine how many more people they had all around the place. Now, that was the White House, not the Capitol.
Mm.
But the fact that they didn't have enough people to guard against these goons, I'm still surprised by. I don't quite know how it happened.
And in terms of, so we've got Biden's inauguration this week. We'll all be up late. The next 4 years, any surprises we're expecting, or is Planet America going to get very boring all of a sudden, or is there some big things we should be keeping an eye on or looking out for?
American politics never, ever gets boring. Sure. I can tell you that. The crazies are always there. They never go away. I think that we can almost certainly expect the Republicans to win the House in 2022, at the very least, possibly the Senate as well. But that doesn't matter. Just the Congress is all they need. And when they do, the debt ceiling is going to be due sometime in that two-year period. I would expect the Republicans do not allow Biden to... So for those who don't know what I'm talking about, America has a strange situation where when they have an arbitrary amount of national debt they're allowed to have, and at some point in time, they just say, we're not paying it back anymore. Not unless you pass a bill to raise the debt ceiling. We've reached the amount of debt. We're not paying it back anymore. That doesn't mean you don't owe the money. Mm. That just means not paying it back. And if they hit the debt ceiling and the Republicans don't let them lift the debt ceiling anymore, I'll tell you what happens. The entire country goes into default. And if the entire country goes into default, then they're going to lift, interest rates will go through the roof. The whole place will be a massive recession, like a 2008 style recession all over again. The whole place is going to go nuts. And the Republicans will, if they've been cynical, they will like that because that means they will win the 2024 election in a canter because people blame Joe Biden. So that, I'll tell you right now, that is going to be, over the next 4 years, the biggest moment. When the debt ceiling is hit, probably around 2023, then what are the Republicans who by that stage will own Congress? What are they going to do? And I think in 10 years' time, when we look back at this period, that will be the pivotal moment to determine whether America really goes off the rails. So that's a little way away at the moment, but things will build towards that.
In many ways, the same way they did, like Obama, his last 6 years, he basically couldn't get much done either because he didn't have the House or the Senate.
Totally. Yeah, I can't tell you how much of a difference that Georgia victory for Democrats made, where they won the Senate just a couple of weeks ago. My prediction until then was that Joe Biden was going to have the worst presidency of anyone in living memory. Like the Republicans were going to barbecue him. But he's escaped for 2 years because of that victory, but it's coming back in 2 years' time. So you better make good use of it. Basically, Joe Biden has three bills because he's not going to be able to get rid of the filibuster. The filibuster means you need 60 votes to get anything through the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get rid of the filibuster because there are some conservative Democrats who won't let him get rid of it, which means that he can't pass anything, even though he holds the Senate, unless he can do it with 50 votes. There's one bill every year that allows you to pass things with 50 votes. It's a process called reconciliation, when you pass the budget, you can add stuff to it. Now, there's all kinds of conditions. I won't bore you with it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they can do one this year. They can do one next year. And in anticipation of the election at the end of 2022, they can do one for the year after. They can pass a budget ahead of time. So they've got three bills, basically, where they can do anything that they possibly want to achieve in this term. They have to try and cram it into those three bills. And if they can't get stuff done in those three bills, they're screwed. If they can do enough to win people over, then maybe he might have another breath after the 2022 elections. But It's going to be interesting. Those three bills are what it's going to be all about. Next 2 years, about those three bills. I'll tell you that right now.
And famously, Obama basically just did the Affordable Care Act, and then he ran out of time.
pretty much. That's right.
All right. We'll leave it there, Chaz. Thanks so much for your time. It's been great to catch up.
Anytime, Dil.
Thanks. The hardest working man in show business, news business. I'm not sure. Always inspiring. Always inspiring in terms of his dedication to work and lack of dedication to sleep, I have to say.
When you don't have talent, you're gonna get done somehow, Dil.
Yeah. always gotta work hard. All right. Thanks, Chaz. Thanks again. Cheers. All right, thanks for listening to this summer repeat. I hope everyone's having a good summer. Just a reminder to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NewsFightersPod. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters, or you can join our Patreon for bonus and early release episodes at patreon.com/newsfighters. Also, sign up for our newsletter at newsfighters.com. Hope you're having a good summer. Keep fighting, and bye for now.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.